This is Rick Gentry, and I want to thank everybody for listening today to Preaching Sunday on BPNRadio.com. I'm excited to introduce to you today Pastor Richard Adarosa, and he's from Florida. We're excited about his message today. Here's Pastor Richard.
Hello, and welcome to today's broadcast. Your speaker, Richard Adarosa, is the senior pastor of Church of the Harvest, located in beautiful Pahokee, Florida. In the ministry for more than 30 years, Pastor Rich has a heart for evangelism and equipping saints for the work of the ministry. And now here is Pastor Rich teaching on Equipped for Your Assignment, Part 1. Well, praise the Lord. What an opportunity it is to be able to minister on the radio, knowing that the Word of God can be going all over our nation and all over the world. So praise the Lord for that. I'm going to begin today talking to you about equipped for your assignment. You know, every one of us is called of God. And a lot of times, you know, we're expecting just the preachers or the full-time ministry people to do the work. But the truth of the matter is that God has called each and every believer to the ministry of reconciliation. We're going to begin, and I read from the New King James Version in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17 says, "All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work." And you say, well, you know, Paul's preaching to Timothy. Timothy, of course, was the pastor, young pastor at the church of Ephesus. And Paul's not talking to me. Paul is talking to Timothy. Well, let me remind you that the Word of God applies to each and every one of us. And so as he's talking here, we need to understand that God wants us to grow up in the things of God. He doesn't want us to stay babies. There's a difference between the child of God and the son of God. And God wants us to grow up spiritually. Hallelujah. And so he's saying that every person that desires to be used of God is to be thoroughly equipped for every good work. And that thorough equipping comes through the Word of God and by the anointing of the Holy Spirit. You remember in the book of Acts, chapter 10, verse 38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. Now, a lot of times we focus on the healing part of that. And certainly healing is doing good. But what I want to share with you today is it's also possible to do good like Jesus did without ever ministering by laying on of hands. Because doing good is what God has called every one of us to do. And thank God, our availability and our willingness to go forward and do the works of Jesus, we go with the power and anointing of the Holy Spirit. The world has programs, but we have the anointing. Hallelujah. And even the programs that we're involved in are anointed by the Spirit of God. And that's what God desires, to get us out into the world and to make an impact. I don't know about you, but I'm tired of seeing people act like the world. I want to see something different. In our ministry, we have a food pantry and a school. I want our food pantry to not just be a normal food pantry. We expect that God will minister to the people coming in. I can't tell you how many miracles we've seen as we've laid hands on people. We've seen cancer healed. Hallelujah. We've seen headaches healed. We've seen all sorts of miraculous things. But this morning, or this evening rather, what I'm sharing with you is the fact that you are equipped for your assignment. Whatever God has called you to do, you are equipped by the Spirit of God. And certainly, as a believer, where else should we start but to look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Understand this, saints of God, anointed of God, that you're a new creature. And I like what Jesse Duplantis used to say. He'd say, you're a new creature with some new features. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17 says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new." Hallelujah. I used to explain it this way. When it comes to being a new creature in Christ, God didn't just take you and fix you up a little bit. You're not some old beat up Volkswagen that God decided that he's going to do a bondo job on your fender panels, but rather he's transformed you into something brand new. Hallelujah. You're not just some old beat up Volkswagen, but you're a mighty man and woman of God. And the devil trembles when you use the name of Jesus and go about to do the Father's work. Listen, friend, you are equipped for ministry. And the ministry that God has given to each and every believer is the ministry of reconciliation. And God tells us that all these new things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. If you have a moment sometime, read that scripture in the Amplified Bible. It tells us that God was personally present in Christ, reconciling the world to himself through us. Listen, you're a world reconciliator, saint of God. That's who you are. Don't go around wagging your finger and telling people, well, you need to stop smoking. You need to stop drinking. You need to stop drugging. And then God will accept you. No, 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 no. The sin problem's been dealt with. You just got to lead him to the Savior. And his name is Jesus. Hallelujah. And Jesus can transform anyone. Don't expect people to get delivered before they've received the Savior. Sure, miracles and healings and wonderful things will take place as we preach the Word of God. But even a fish knows that he's only going to get cleaned up once he's caught. Listen, we need to do what Jesus has called us to do. It's time to put away the excuses that we have. Well, the pastor should do it. Or maybe Sister So-and-so should do it. Listen, if you've got a Bible, if you've got breath, and if you've got a voice that can speak, there's nothing that's stopping you today from sharing Christ with people around you. You know, as a pastor, my greatest heart is to see the people of God involved in doing the works of God. Jesus said, "The works I do, you shall do also, and greater works than these, because I go unto my Father." Jesus is seated at the right hand of the Father. He's not going to come down and do it for you. He's not going to take authority over the devil for you. God has given you word and authority and the unmatchless name of Jesus. He's not Jesus of Miami. He's Jesus of Nazareth. And he is filled with the Holy Ghost and power. And he's delegated that power. And he's given us the comforter of the Holy Ghost, who is empowering you and I to be wonderful, victorious people for Christ. You know, I see so many people depressed and upset because of how life is going. They're so self-centered. All they ever do is think about themselves. Well, if you're listening to this message today, let me tell you, get your mind off yourself and get your mind on the things of God. Jesus said, if you seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, that all these things would be added unto you. Hallelujah. You want life to change? Then get involved with the Father's business. It's time to grow up spiritually, folks, and it's time to get out there and do the works of Jesus. I'm encouraging you. I'm exhorting you. And if I upset you a little bit, I'm sorry. I don't want to offend you, but I want to tell you that there's a whole lot more that each one of us can be doing than we're doing today. Glory to God. Now it says that it was God who was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Now then, in other words, here's the point Paul's making. We're ambassadors for Christ. Now, I know that many of you have all heard about ambassadors and how we're to go and be an ambassador for the kingdom of God. And so I don't want to repeat what you've already heard. I'm here to explain to you today that God has equipped you for the assignment that he's given you. Now, let's go back to the book of Acts, chapter 10 and verse 38 for a minute. And let's study that word good. Jesus went about doing good. Well, what does that mean? To do good means to bestow benefits. It means to add something to someone. How many people take things away from us? My wife, Barbara, used to tell me all the time, you know, some people are more like anchors. Well, I like to be around the people that are more like buoys, the ones that lift us up, the ones that support us. And it's interesting, if you study this scripture, I like what Rick Renner said recently. He said that Jesus was the greatest philanthropist that ever lived. You know, I think about philanthropists and I think about how many men and women, many of them we don't even realize, that have such tremendous wealth. And what do? They take that wealth and they give it to different organizations and bless people. That's wonderful. But how much more can we, people of God, people that are born again, people that are spirit-filled, how much more can we go about doing good? You know, Jesus was not poor. Some people think that Jesus was this mamby-pamby that walked around with, you know, some battered, beat-up, tagged clothes. No, Jesus had some finances. Jesus was a man of means. Jesus was a person who had the ability to bring blessing to people at all levels of their life. It's not just Jesus about healing. Jesus went about doing good. He fed the 5,000. He worked miracles. And so you have the same spirit that anointed Jesus in you. And if you're spirit-filled, you have that spirit upon you. And the Holy Ghost has not only created you a new creature in Christ, but he's anointed you to do good. The basis for doing good comes through your being born again and manifesting the fruit of the Spirit. And in addition to that, you are empowered by the baptism of the Holy Spirit to be a witness. If we look at the book of Acts, chapter 1 and verse 8, and of course, all of you that have studied the Word of God are very familiar with this, but I just want to read it to you. I'm looking it up in my Bible, although, like most of you, you know this scripture and you've memorized it. And it said to them, "But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the end of the earth." Listen, friends, the Spirit of God has come upon you to equip you to be a witness. God's plan for witnessing is to be filled with the Holy Spirit. God's plan for doing good is to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Listen, you are filled, you are capable, you have the anointing to go about doing good every day. And it's not necessarily just working miracles. It's not necessarily just allowing the gifts of the Spirit to operate through you. But it also includes your willingness and your ability to help or to counsel somebody, to give them some understanding and some compassion. You can do things on a spiritual level that's far above what can be done in the natural. Yes, I'm talking about you today. I'm not talking about somebody somewhere out on the planet Mars. I'm talking about born again, spirit-filled believers. This last move of the Spirit of God, hallelujah, God is taking it out to the streets. The things that you've read about were the great evangelists like Finney and many others. The days that we're living in, well, look, those things will almost pale in comparison. God wants the believers to go about doing the Father's business. Adam Clark, in his commentary, said this, talking about Jesus. He said whose main business it was to travel from place to place to do good. He did not go for applause or wealth or comfort or ease, but to diffuse happiness as far as possible. Could that be said about you? Is your focus on yourself or is your focus on others? You know, a lot of folks go to church and thank God for churches. I love them. But you know, there was a time in the book of Acts where the church was dispersed abroad because of the persecution that took place. And I want to just read you a scripture about a guy who got it. How many of you know that Philip, who's later referred to as an evangelist, was a deacon in the church? If you go back in the book of Acts and you look at the qualifications for becoming a deacon, you'll find out that the men of God looked for men who were anointed of the Holy Ghost, full of faith. And so in their job description, they had to meet some pretty high standards. Listen, your standard that God desires for you to meet is to bear fruit like Jesus wants you to bear fruit and have the power of the Holy Spirit to go about doing good. And so that's your calling. But in the book of Acts, chapter 8, we're going to actually begin here in verse number 5. My favorite verse in the Bible, these verses. It says, "Then Philip went to the city of Samaria and preached Christ to them." You say, well, wait a minute. Why did Philip go to Samaria? After all, they weren't too crazy about the Samaritans. But Philip is anointed and motivated, just like you and I. He found a place where there was a need. And Philip, it says, preached Christ unto them. And it says the multitudes with one accord heeded the things spoken by Philip, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. Now, how did the miracles and healings take place? Oh, he was an evangelist. Well, he later was put into the office of evangelist, but Philip is ministering here as a deacon in the church. Now, don't get me wrong. I am not undermining and I am not saying anything negative about being a deacon. The Bible says that if you're a deacon, you've got a good work going on. But what I'm here to tell you was, as the miracles and healings that took place here were not based on his evangelism office. They were based on his faith and his willingness to put God's word to practice. I can tell you, as a person who's known Jesus for many years, that every time that we've gone out to minister to people, whether it's casually meeting them or purposely going out as a group, we've always seen the power of God manifest. Why is that? Because God wants to touch people. God wants to use you to touch people. That's the blessing that you have. The covenant that we have with God. Yes, yes, yes. We get all the wonderful benefits. But you know what God gets? He gets you. And he wants you to go about and allow him to work through you. Praise be to God forevermore. And it says that unclean spirits crying with a loud voice came out of many who were possessed. And many who were paralyzed and lame were healed. And there was great joy in the city. You know why? There's not so much joy in the city because we're not seeing things like this go on. Listen, I'm with you. I used to go to a church where the preacher would tell me, well, we're just waiting for the glory of God to fall. I'm glad Smith Wigglesworth never heard about that. I'm glad I never heard about that, because what I want to tell you is, you're not waiting on God. God is waiting on you. Well, I'm just waiting for somebody to call me on the phone and invite me to preach. Listen, if you have an unction and a desire to preach, you don't need a church person to call you on the phone. You don't need some pastor to call you from Zimbabwe and say, oh, the Holy Ghost told me to get you over here to preach. No, all you got to do is grab your Bible, go somewhere where people need to hear the good news, and then begin to preach the word of God like God puts in your heart to preach. That's what we need to do. Stop getting your eyes on what's going to happen in your pulpit. Thank God for pastors, but thank God for apostles and evangelists, pastors and teachers. They are put in the body of Christ to equip us so that we can do the work of the ministry. They are there to help equip us so that we are equipped for our assignment. Hallelujah. And I am no way minimizing their position and authority, and we should respect them. We should count them with double honor. And that's the plan of God. So a philanthropist is one who makes an active effort to promote human welfare. A person who practices philanthropy. Listen, doesn't that sound like Jesus? Doesn't that sound like the desire of your heart? You know, there's some people that just don't seem to be interested in the things of God. They go to church, they hear the same sermon, they hear the same subjects. They get up, they go home. They put their Bible down on the counter, never pick it up during the week, and then wonder why they have no motivation. Sitting there sipping iced tea, watching all the things on the television screen. And listen, I'm not saying those things are bad, but what I am saying to you today is if you want to experience the high life, by the way, you know, I used to hear that commercial when I was a kid, Miller, the High Life. I want to tell you today that the High Life is Jesus. It's Jesus who is the High Life, not Miller Beer. Glory to God. And there might be people today listening and saying, well, I've got addictions. I've got this problem and I've got that problem. Get outside yourself. Get involved in the things of God and let God deal with that. Listen, you can't be allowing the anointing of God to flow through you without affecting you. God wants you to get equipped. God wants you to get involved in what he's doing in the earth. Let's go back to the book of Acts chapter 10. Let's pick up there again. Acts chapter 10 and verse 38. Now, just a little bit of background here. You have to understand that Peter has had his eyes opened. Peter is, of course, the one that God called on to preach to Cornelius. And of course, while he's preaching to Cornelius, the Holy Ghost falls and they become filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, we know that the filling of the Holy Spirit comes after being born again. And there's people out there that say, well, I'm filled in the Spirit. Well, one of the evidences or the evidence of being filled with the Holy Spirit is speaking in other tongues. Now, gentlemen and ladies, no small wars have been fought. Whether tongues are here, some religious groups and denominations say that tongues is of the devil. But I'm here to tell you it's not of the devil. The Bible says that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. That means he is the Lord and he changes not. That means the intent of Jesus today is still to go about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. But how's he going to do it? I'm glad you asked that question. Jesus is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he's waiting for the command of God to say, go get him from the Father. But Jesus lives his life in you and through you by the power of the Holy Spirit. And he's given you all things that pertain unto life and godliness. In fact, let's look at that, if we could, for just a minute. Turn to 2 Peter. Now, there's some pretty powerful scriptures here. And if you've never really studied on this, boy, you really ought to study this and really meditate on it, because it is absolutely amazing. So let's see, 2 Peter chapter 2. And we're going to be looking at that here very shortly. Let me see, 2 Peter chapter 2. Oh, wait. I'm looking for it. I know it's still in my Bible. I got to find it somewhere. But the Bible, verse 2, it says here in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 2, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, as his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Listen, the world needs life and it needs godliness. And God's divine power has given us everything we need pertaining to life and godliness. But it comes through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue, by which we have been given to, which have been given to us exceeding great and precious promises. What are these exceeding great and precious promises? These are the exceeding great and precious promises of the word, that through these wonderful, exceeding and precious promises, you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. You know, a lot of people have not heard a message like this because they've just heard about how we're to grow in the Lord and to develop our character. But let me tell you, without being a doer of the word, without going about and doing good and ministering to those around you, you are never going to experience the fullness and the joy that comes. You may be sitting there today and you may be in a chair, you may be laying in bed, maybe you're just riding in your car and listening to the radio somehow, and you hear this message and you go, I want to do it. I really wish I could. Listen, it's not a matter of I wish I could. It's a matter of making a decision. It's a matter of meditating on the word of God. Listen, saints, God is for you. The Bible says, if God be for you, then who can be against you? I want to remind you today that we're ministering on being equipped for your assignment. Everyone is assigned to be a reconciliator and to reconcile others to Christ. Forgive me because sometimes I make up words, but you know what I'm talking about. God has called all of us to reconcile others to the Lord Jesus. And so you are thoroughly equipped unto good works. That work that he started in you, he's continuing to work in you. Will you allow yourself to be used of God today? Would you take that step of faith? Would you allow yourself to just put yourself and behind and to put God first? I know that some of you who are listening to this day today might feel a little bit offended. Well, you're just pushing a little too strong. After all, not every church is supposed to get involved in winning people to the Lord. Oh, yeah? Well, I'd like you to write to me and give me a scripture for that, and I'm going to share that information with you shortly. But listen, folks, God wants you to get involved in what he's doing in the earth. Listen, I don't think it's an accident that many of the men and women of God are preaching messages like this to the body of Christ. God wants you to be involved in the greatest end time revival that's ever taken place. You've seen what's going on in our nation. You've seen the depravity. You've seen the works of darkness manifesting just based on the things that we see in our news programs. We've exchanged, or many people have exchanged, the truth of God's word for a lie. What once used to be a nation of morality has now become a nation that is dealing with many demons. And so you could get very discouraged and say, God, I sure hope you do something about it. Well, let me tell you something. There's something you can do about it. What you can do is share the word of God. What you can do is share your faith. Well, what if it doesn't work? What if I pray for someone to be healed and they don't get healed? Listen, your responsibility is not to make it happen. Your responsibility is to step out in faith with the word of God. Wouldn't it be wonderful to hear Jesus say, oh, you were such a philanthropist in this life? You might say, yeah, I don't have money. Some of you do have finances, and some of you are funding wonderful things in the kingdom of God. But whether you have finances or not, you are born again. You're filled with the Spirit of God. You've got every ingredient that's necessary in order for you to be like Jesus, in order for you to be able to go out and do good and heal all that were oppressed of the devil. Well, we're going to stop there today, friends, and we're going to pick this up next Sunday. I sure hope this message today was a blessing to you and it's touched your heart. We would absolutely love to hear from you. You can contact us by going on our website at churchoftheharvestpahokee.com. That's Church of the Harvest Pahokee. Pahokee spelled P-A-H-O-K-E-E. churchoftheharvestpahokee.com. Or you can do it the old-fashioned way, and you can write to us at Church of the Harvest, P.O. Box 183, Pahokee, Florida, 33476. I'm going to give it to you again. Church of the Harvest, P.O. Box 183, Pahokee, Florida, 33476. And let me just pray for you right now. Father, we thank you for the people that have heard the broadcast today. Lord, I thank you that you're taking the word of God and ministering it to the hearts of the believers. Father, I thank you that as people are touched through the word of God today, that they will go about and do the Father's business. And bring them back next Sunday to hear the second part of this message. We thank you so much, Father, for your goodness. You are an awesome God. And Father, we thank you and give you all the praise, Father, in advance, by faith. And Lord, we thank you that you are well pleased. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.
Rick Gentry, you've been listening to Pastor Richard Idarosa today on Preaching Sunday. For more information, please contact one of our team members at breakoutprayernetwork.com or visit us at bpnradio.com. We sure appreciate all your support. Thank you very much.